Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. Today on the podcast, we have Megan Hale. She is a business strategist and money mentor for freedom-driven entrepreneurs who are ready to step into feel-good money and create sustainable, aligned business growth. She has a special emphasis on empowering women to identify what their next level of growth looks like, how to create sustainable income, and build giving into their futures. I'm so excited to be jumping in today. She's a special friend. Emily, tell us more about what this 2% pledge looks like.
Yeah, we are talking everything about giving, not only how you can integrate into your business, but how you can integrate it where it's literally sustainable. So you keep doing it and you grow within giving if that is something that is in alignment with your goals and with what you have going on in your business. Megan breaks down a sustainable percentage of your giving, how you can logistically set that up within your finances, how you can find causes to give to, questions to ask yourself, and everything you've ever wondered about. How can I have an even bigger impact within my business and give back is going to be answered in this episode.
Hey, Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I miss your face. I miss your voice. I miss your brain.
I know. What you may not know about Megan is we were in a mastermind together for like, 2 years?
Yeah, it was a long time.
But it was just a couple ladies, five of us total. We met every week. And so I feel like I know a lot about Megan's life, but she's done so much since then. And I'm excited to talk about what it looks like to build a sustainable business that allows you the privilege of being able to give back in a really incredible way. And I just want to kick us off by asking, why should someone consider including give back into their business model?
Well, I think this has a couple of different layers to it. So the first is when you have a give back baked into your business, it creates so much more meaning behind every single dollar that walks through your door. I think that it can be a huge motivator to go and earn more because you see that you're able to do more with that money. And that can be a very motivating thing for a lot of people. Second, I think it gives a lot more depth to why you are in business. And for most entrepreneurs, we're here to create financial freedom. We are here to step into more wealth for ourselves and our families. And also, I think that there can be a desire for a lot of people to extend that wealth to people that they have never met and to causes that they care a lot about. And so, in a sense, giving can be a really powerful way of aligning your money with your values. And that is going to create much deeper intimacy between you and your money, where it just takes on so much deeper meaning for you.
I know as Emily and I have grown our business, we've struggled to identify the what will continue to motivate us past the point of comfort, if that makes sense. Like once you've reached a point where, okay, now you're taking care of the walls, you're taking care of the needs, you're whatever. And then you start building, oh, these are the kinds of things I would want. And then Emily and I definitely have gotten to the point a couple of times where we're like, man, I'm pretty comfortable. Like, could I grow? Yes. Do I want to?
I can afford all the burritos I want.
Sure, but like,
do I really need it? And I think sometimes when you get to a place like that, or even before then, if you need to leverage a point of motivation, perhaps, or just like excitability about your business, I really think this is an incredible thing. I've seen people do this on a short-term basis during kind of crisis situations. And I've seen people make this a huge part of their business. What I've seen less of is something where it's baked in, but it's not the primary focus. And I'd be curious to hear your take on what those three could look like and why you kind of like something that's somewhere in the middle.
So, I mean, I think when it comes to giving, there's a lot of different ways that giving can look. And the first thing that I want to say, there's no wrong way to give. So giving is like really the most important part, however that looks. But I think for me, the thing that has meant the most is doing this in a way that is sustainable, that I can continue doing over a long period of time. And what I have found from being a giving company since 2018 is that the more I have given, the more I have learned in what ways I like to give, in what ways that are really aligned with what feels good for me, the organizations that I care about, and all of those things. So I think that it's important that we have money to donate that's creating systemic change. I also think that it's really an amazing thing to be able to give in moments of crisis too. And we don't have to choose. We can actually do both, and we can be intentional about doing both. And so the way that this looks like in my business is that, you know, from that 5% of revenue that I set aside for giving, a portion of that goes towards organizations that are creating systemic change. And I reserve a portion of that back to be able to help people who are in a moment of crisis and just need cash now, right? So I think the more you think about what does giving look like for me, the more you're going to start to see, like, this can look lots of different ways. Some people give on a monthly basis, quarterly basis. Some let that cash stack up in a high interest earning account. So it's starting to create even more money. And then they give on a yearly basis. Like, literally, the sky's the limit. But I think the thing that really gets people tripped up is they don't have a plan. So having the plan is really the thing that's going to create accountability for you. And also a lot more clarity of what you're going to do with this money, making sure that it's actually doing what you want it to in the world.
Yeah, I love the idea of like your conversation of sustainable giving. I feel like that's honestly been the piece that's been missing for us at Boss Project, to figuring out, because it's something that Abby and I have been super passionate about where we volunteer and the things that we do outside of work. It's always been a conversation for us, but it's always also felt like a really big thing to have to figure out. And like, ooh, if we do it once and then never do it again, is that okay? And then how do we do it often? And what does that look like? It's really interesting when you were talking about, and I would love to get like into the nitty gritty about why the 2%, but I was doing some calculations before we hit record, because I gave last year for my personal business. It was right after Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed, and I was feeling like super sad and super emotional, and was literally making earrings that moment and was like, you know what? All of these I'm just donating to a local cause.
Yes,
here. Yeah, we bought some. Yeah. So I did the percent math, and it ended up being like 5.5% of what I made the total year last year, which is great. Fine. It didn't feel like a crap ton of money. It didn't feel like something I couldn't sustain. It didn't feel like something I couldn't do again, especially if I was doing 2%. Yeah. And then maybe I reserve 2%. And if at the end of the year, it feels like I can do more, okay, let's add some more. But I think the idea of just starting in a moment where you feel super passionate about something, and then asking yourself, okay, how can I do this again in a way that's not like maybe as emotionally charged, and I can just like keep doing it. So talk to me a little bit about why really 2%.
For sure. So if people are not familiar with Profit First, it's a cash flow methodology that I'm certified in. And what this really does is it helps you understand the margins inside your business. And so typically we're really looking at what sustainable margins look like, right? Like what percentage of total revenue earned is going to you as your personal pay every single month? And how much should it really be costing you to run your business? How much should you be setting aside for taxes? And all of these other things. And so the 2% pledge really came from understanding margins and looking at where can I borrow money inside my own business to create a giving allocation. And for me, this started at 5%, because the way the allocations work, basically, if you're at a certain revenue level, Profit First recommends you pay yourself 50% of total revenue, which most businesses probably aren't paying themselves enough. So that's one key. So that's really helpful just to have as a starting point. But when you look at 5% of 50%, that ends up being 10% of what you're paying yourself, which is very in line with what I think a lot of religious organizations, for instance, would recommend. Like, I think we're all familiar with the concept of tithing. And so that 10% felt like a really great starting place for me. And so in the total scheme of the business, that ended up being 5% of total revenue. When I started working with other companies, though, 5% might not sound like a lot, but when every single dollar counts, 5% actually feels like a really big leap for people to step into. And so what I started to notice is that, well, let's start with 1%, 2%, see how that feels. And like looking at how all the numbers work together, people are like, this feels good. Like, I feel like I can do this and maintain it. And that's really where the 2% came from, as this being a really sustainable benchmark that most companies, no matter where you're starting from, no matter how much revenue you're earning, that you can step into that. It feels good to step into that. You can grow it from there, right? But it's really taking that first step, committing to it, maintaining it, getting a feel for giving. That's really the most important part of all.
Yeah. I think that's such an amazing thing to like attach yourself to. And sometimes I know that depending on how you run your business and what the rest of your life looks like, sometimes if it comes all the way into your bank account and it's now yours, it makes it a lot harder to like let go of. And I know giving has been a huge part of my life personally, and we even went to the extent of our family set up a foundation to like start making that a bigger piece of what we do. And that can get really complicated. But I think if you want a really simple way to do this, like having it set aside from the beginning is just a really honorable thing to do. And the piece that feels great about it to me is that it's going towards something you ideally are really passionate about and you want to be a part of and you want to put your dollars behind. And sometimes as we get busier and we build these things, we have less time to give. And so, you know, when you're early on in your business, it might look like more hours, but I know the further along we've gotten in our business, between life and business, I have less volunteer time than I used to by a lot. And this feels like a really tangible alternative.
Oh my gosh.
Because
yes.
Organizations need these funds to do the work that they are so equipped to do. So I really like that. Now, here's the piece I'm curious about. I know you talk about the pledge being sustainable, but what about building a business that's sustainable to create the kind of change we're wanting to talk about here?
I can talk about this all day, every day. So in my methodology, one of the first things that I'm looking at is how are you creating financial stability for yourself and your business? And what is the easiest way to get there? And so what I have noticed, especially in 2018, because that was such a game changer year for me, because I really had to simplify everything with all of the chaos that was going on in my personal life, I realized that I was trying to do way too many things just to make sure that my bills were met every single month. And I was always stressed out. I was always overwhelmed. I always felt like I was confused, didn't know exactly where to put my time, focus, or energy. And that's never a really good feeling when you feel like you're all over the place. You're the one that's supposed to, like, you know, not have things all over the place. You're like the one that's like driving the ship, right? And so one of the things that I really look for is helping people create one key offer in their business that can cover six key financial needs, which are your personal bills are covered, your business expenses are covered, your taxes are covered, you're able to save a little, give a little, and invest a little. And investing looks like hiring coaches, buying courses, getting the education that you need in order for your business to grow. And what I have found is that not a lot of entrepreneurs actually know how much they should be investing in their business that's sustainable for them. And they're not even setting aside money to invest in their businesses. And so when it comes time to invest, they're like, well, where is this money going to come from, right? like, well, we can get actually more intentional about that. And so my first goal is to look at how much those six key financial needs are for a full year, and then create one offer that can cover all of those expenses for a full year. Depending on your business structure, if you're a launch style business, which a lot of my clients are, we're looking to generate that money with just one launch. So one offer, one whole year of those six key needs being met in just one launch. And the reason that it's a one full year is because we want stability to create spaciousness for us, where we can breathe, where we can think, where we have time and space to create, not under that place of financial distress, right? But we can really start to sit and sink into that higher level of discernment of like, what is that next right step? What is it that I feel called to create after this? And it just completely transforms like how your business feels on a day-to-day basis, right? But it also really starts to shift your trajectory, because when your expenses, when your needs are met for that long chunk of time, it opens up so much creativity for you of like, how do I want to keep this momentum going? And it buys you the time and space that many businesses need to create other systems and offers that actually support that stability for, you know, ongoing money momentum. And so that's really the foundation. Like, we have to create stability first and foremost. And so many of us are looking at that big dream, that big mountaintop dream, because it's sexy, it's fun, it's exciting, right? And we're so focused on that. We're not looking at, okay, what's going to create stability first and foremost in the most sustainable way possible? Because that really is the foundation for being able to sustainably scale. Because I'm sure we all know we can reach that mountaintop goal, and we can also get there and want to burn the whole thing to the ground because we didn't get there sustainably. And then it's like, oh my God, I'm like all the way back at step one. And so we can be a lot more intentional with how we're building our businesses and designing our offers and pricing them and all of those things, but it really starts with financial stability first.
I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And there's a couple things that I would do differently, but I think that's just an illustration on how there's not just one way to get to a sustainable business. But the differentiator here is, I would much prefer that you build a business that you can rely on and that you can depend on and that creates financial freedom for what you're creating. And without that, everything feels rocky. And when you're always feeling that tension, it's really hard to operate at your fullest potential and like fully give to your clients in the way you want to.
Yes. Well, think about how much energy goes into worrying about cash flow when it's like every single month you're having to figure out how things going to happen this month. You know, it's a very stressful place to be. I lived there for the first 3 years of my business. And so when it comes to like the relationship that we're building with money too, it's like the way that I typically describe it is like when you're in like a toxic relationship and you're trying to figure out like what you need to do differently, and it's just so hard because you're so close to it, right? And then you get out of the relationship and you have that distance, that perspective of like, oh, this is how I was contributing to all of those things, or that's why that person was doing that, and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing with money. And so when we create that distance, that, you know, that perspective with money, we can also see what we are projecting onto money from that place of distress, right? And so it opens up so many things when we don't have that financial stress on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis.
This, as corny as it sounds, makes me think of that TikTok that's been trending lately where they're like, I don't understand why all these people keep quitting. And they're like, it's useless. It's like, we're the same concept is true here. I think so often we project, you know, all our issues onto everyone else, everything else, all our offers, all our blah, blah, blah. This launch didn't do what it was supposed to. This email didn't do what it was supposed to. This system that I built is failing me. Been there, done that. I think if we first, though, instead of like focusing on these really sexy, dreamy things, not that they're not great, like not that you shouldn't have dreams, but like,
no, you absolutely should.
Yeah. I always feel like the dream crusher when we have these type of conversations, especially with our audience, because I'm just like, it's not that I don't want you to write that book. It's not that I don't want you to design that product line. I want you making money, yes, right now and in 6 months and in 3 years. Fund that dreamy big goal, yes, of living off the land or whatever your dream might be.
For sure. I mean, and I think that that's the other thing too, is like the offer that creates that stability for you, it also needs to be structured in a way that's really intentional on how much time and energy you're committing to it. Because what I see oftentimes, people might be making the money that they want to make, but they have no time at all. So they become the bottleneck. There's no way for them to earn more money because there's not more time to create. And we don't have to structure it that way. So it's really looking at like how like time, money, and energy like all work together. Like all three of those elements go into sustainability for sure.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The Moisture Rich Balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling Moisture Rich Balm, the Moisture Rich Body Balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. And I, just like anything else, the thing you put as the priority then becomes reality. So like if we go back to this pledge for a minute, like if you make that's just how it works, and like you do it from the beginning, then it can happen. It's when it's like the afterthought that things become a problem, and we get to build what we want to build. And I wish more people would try this structure first. Like, anyway, I'm obviously passionate.
I want to go a little bit back to the pledge. I feel like we've been touching on the financial piece and the sustainability for a big part of this conversation, but I know a thing that hangs me up a lot, and us especially as two people deciding, is who the frick to give to, and how do you decide? Is it local? Is it national? Is it international? Who does it impact? What's the right choice? How much vetting should I do of this place that I want to give money to? That part feels really, really overwhelming, and that we could make a wrong choice.
Yes.
So what do we do there?
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you bring this up, because I think this is one of the issues that really keeps people from giving. They're like, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what I care about. So I'm just going to wait until basically this clarity knocks on my door, and then I'll start giving.
That's what I've been waiting for.
And so like what I will share is, when I first started this, you know, I had an organization that I've been following for quite some time. I really like the work that they were doing. They had a really good mix of both domestic and international philanthropy, very much aligned with my values, my political affiliation. Like everything that they were doing was very transparent, and they were building a lot of trust with their communities. The other thing that I really valued is that most of the money that they were building was coming from $25 donations. And so there was an accessibility there that was like, everybody can contribute. And it was creating like a movement where you felt like you were a part of something. If you could only give $2, right? Like you were contributing to this massive amount of cash that they were able to go and help real people, like impact their lives in that moment. And that was really, really phenomenal for me. And so just that one organization was like, that's who I'm going to start supporting first, because that's who's in my world. That's already in my wheelhouse, right? And as I have continued to give, I think this is kind of like a muscle. And so the more you engage in the practice of giving, the more you're going to learn about what feels good in order for you to like give and support and all of those things. And what's interesting is if you are committed to giving, we already have some intentional focus that we're going to be looking for. Like the cash is going to stack up. You're going to have to figure out, well, what do I want to do with this, right? And so it becomes kind of a day-to-day, like just it's integrated into your life that you're always going to be looking for organizations that are doing good stuff. And one organization will highlight another organization. It all leads to the next. But the thing that I want to be a voice for is that you might not know the thing that you're most passionate about, right? But let yourself be 60% passionate about something, 40% passionate about something, right? Like it doesn't have to be the thing for you to like go do some good in the world. So start there.
Right. Yeah. I don't know why we put that pressure on like, yeah, I have to be like 100% into every aspect of this thing to just like, I still know this is going to be beneficial and I'm into.
Well, I think probably the reason that feels that way is a lot of the give back culture has been driven by these companies that make it such a massive part of their brand messaging that I'm sure in some ways, I mean, Emily and I always got our marketing hat on. Like, I can't get rid of it. Like, it's just, it follows me around everywhere. And so, like, you're probably, and at least in the back of my mind, it's been, well, I don't know if I can pick an organization that I would align with enough that I could always put it out there. But I think who's to say that you have to include it at all? Like, I mean, you could say I'm a give back company, but you don't have to tell everybody who you're giving back to. You could say you set aside a certain amount and it changes from year to year. You could announce that or not. Like, I just think there's this opportunity for it to be fluid that people don't give themselves that option.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to marry the organization or the cause. And I think that you need to give yourself permission to let this shift and evolve as you do. So I have seen companies do this in so many different ways. Like, some of them will pick 12 organizations or causes that they want to support in any given year. And then every single month, they're supporting, you know, one of those causes or organizations. Some people give all of their giving fund to just one cause or one organization, right? Like, this can look however you want it to look, but it's really around the commitment of like, I'm going to step into giving. I'm committed. So the other piece of that commitment is I'm also committed to figuring it out, right? So I'm committed to giving and I'm committed to figuring out how this looks for me. And it's a process.
Yeah, I love that you brought up the organization that you were giving to when you realized that the majority of their funding came from $25 donations. I feel like if you guys spend a second looking into a couple of different options, I think that you'll see that's true for a lot of places, because a hang up of mine has always been, I can't give enough today, so I'm not gonna send $25. I'm not gonna send $50 because I don't feel like that's enough, so I'm just not gonna give it at all, which is literal bullshit.
That's so key. It so is, but like, this is super common, right? And like, I think that's why, like, if you go on the 2% pledge page, you'll see how I've calculated what 2% looks like in all different sized companies, right? And how that adds up collectively. Because you might be making, you know, $25,000 a year in your business right now, and 2% is however much that is, but you took the pledge and now you have a friend who's making $100,000 a year and they're adding their 2% in, and they have a friend who's making $300,000 a year and they're adding their in, and they have a friend who's making $50,000. It's like it all adds up together. And I think that's the other thing that stops people from giving is that, well, what's $25 going to do, right? What's that going to do for anybody? And so we sometimes can put that pressure on ourselves for us to like carry the weight of change or impact on our own versus realizing like you don't have to do it on your own. It's really allowing your funds to stack up with other givers, right? And it's the collective giving that has such a massive ripple effect.
Well, being on the back end of so many organizations, what do you do with the funds after the fact? You would be shocked how far $25 goes in a lot of these organizations because they're so committed to their cause. Like, just an example, I know several organizations in Kansas City, $25 could equate to providing meals
for a child and their family every weekend for a whole month. Like, you don't know what kind of impact that has on a child's life, and like that you have the power, like literally in your hands, to make that impact. And it, if that's not what's like floating your boat, okay, it doesn't have to be children and food. Like, you can pick any avenue, and there's going to be an organization there to support something you're passionate about, or even like a little passionate about. Like you said, like, it doesn't,
do you like dogs or exactly. cats?
Like I spent a lot of years volunteering at Wayside.
You like trees? Well, I think this is the thing. Like, when you have money that's been intentionally set aside for giving, something's going to cross your awareness. Somebody's going to be asking for money. There's going to be a cause or something that's happening in the world. And you're like, oh, you know what? Like, I actually can help. I can help. And it'll just, I can't even tell you the feeling that it gives you to know that you have the capacity to help. And it's an intentional capacity that you have created, that your business is creating for you because you asked it to, that you're now able to go and create impact in people's lives that you probably have not even met and never will meet, right? And I think that that's the thing, is like, we have to stop looking at the assumptions we're making around how much money will do what. We have to stop making this agreement with ourselves that we have, like, it has to be the thing, like, we're our one and only. It doesn't. It's really around taking that action.
It reminds me of that episode from The Office where Michael Scott wanted to get that big check to donate to science, and the check cost more than what they were going to be able to donate, but all he cared about was delivering that big check. Like, that's how I feel like a lot of these hangups feel like for me or for people, where it's like, what are you're caring about delivering the big check when I just want you to actually make a little impact.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that there can be some stuff that comes up around giving, around like power dynamics for sure. And I think that this is an opportunity or an invitation for you to really sit with what's coming up for you. What is it going to feel like when you're able to help somebody and they thank you for that? How do you want to receive that? You know, how do you want to hold what giving means to you and what giving means in the world? Like, it's a very, it's a value for you to really think about, what does this look like? What does being generous mean for me? Where are my boundaries and limits with that too? Because I think that's the other thing that people can sometimes be afraid of, is that they're, if they're public with their giving, that people are going to start knocking at their door and asking for all of this money. It's like, that has yet to happen to me.
And I don't think that's how that works.
Exactly. And so I think we need to be mindful of like not letting our fears really run the show on that, but being really mindful of like what's going to come up for you, because it's definitely something for you to explore.
Yeah. I realize I don't like being thanked, so I want to do all of my donations anonymously. It was really awkward for me last year when there were like Instagram tags and lots of messages from the place that I donated to, and was like, ooh, I actually don't need that. I don't like that. So we're going to skip that next time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had a couple of like big donations go out to certain organizations, and I've gotten an email like several months later of just saying, thank you for your donation. This is where those funds went. And like, that feels really good to me. Like, the public acknowledgement is always, it, you have to be really intentional with how you receive it and hold it, because you don't want it to be about you, because it's not, you know?
Right. So I do like to know where the funds go. I think that's just always super interesting.
Well, that's the other thing about giving responsibly. And so you would ask a question around, you know, how do you vet these organizations? So
yeah,
if you literally went into Google right now and you were to type vet charitable organizations, there's going to be a number of sites that pop up of saying, these are some really good guidelines and criteria to look for. And the things that I look for is, I want to know that the majority of the donations received are actually going to the causes that they say that they are, right? Every organization is going to have administrative costs. What I will share from the organizations I've given to Black Girl Ventures, which is really there to support Black and Brown women founders and building businesses, run by Shelly Bell, who's just phenomenal. They secured a huge Nike deal this past year, which is phenomenal. And then I also support Together Rising, which is run by Glennon Doyle, and they do both domestic and international philanthropy. But one thing to note is like, they're very clear. Like, when you donate, they ask, do you want to add an additional 3% to help cover our administrative costs, right? And so 100% of your donation is actually going to go towards charitable giving, and you have the option to then support the administrative costs of the organization itself. And I think that's just so helpful. right? To know like, yeah, of course I want to support y'all and, you know, take this donation too.
Yeah. I love the transparency, and you'll find when you go down this rabbit hole that, you know, some organizations are way more transparent than others, and you get to decide, is this a red flag for me, or is this just like,
are they just not organized?
But then sometimes that also means it's not a right fit for you either, and that's okay. Like, I know on several of the organizations I've been involved in, they will attempt to cover their administrative costs from their membership, which isn't necessarily where they're always getting donations from. Like, membership is a piece of the puzzle, but then they're also getting outside donations. And so you can look for that. You can want that to be part of what is happening behind the scenes. And you can also ask for certain things to happen with your funds that maybe aren't like directly on the site. I think sometimes people don't realize that you have a lot more control when you have the dollar bills. So like, if you knew an organization worked across the country, but you really wanted to target in a certain area or in a certain aspect of what they do, I guarantee if you emailed them, they would be willing to work with you and, or at least give you feedback on a better way to do that if that's something that was kind of outside their scope. But I just think it's a fun opportunity, but it's an impactful one. And I think we tend to put ourselves in silos that our impact has to be solely from the business we do. And it doesn't necessarily have to work that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that your business starts to take on like such a more holistic view when it's like, because you get to choose the different layers of impact. You're, in my mind, you know, your business should have a direct impact on the people that you're serving and help provide transformation and whatever it is that they're buying from you. But your business should also have a direct impact on itself. Like, it's able to create sustainability for itself so it can then go and serve more and more people. It should also create an impact for you as the CEO, whether that's financial compensation or return on joy, you know, all of these things that we get from our businesses. But we can also leverage our businesses to have a more global impact as well. So there's all of these different layers that we can really think about when it comes to the impact we want to have. But again, I mean, it really comes down to a plan. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? Like, the 2% pledge is one way to give. Like, I'm sure there's lots of other ways for people to step into sustainable giving too. Like, this is just the thing that I have noticed from my work, you know?
Do you have any guidance on how you're like collecting or gathering the funds prior to distribution? Like,
no money touches my hands. So the 2% pledge, you're donating your money to organizations that you care about. We have an Instagram handle, and one of the biggest goals with that is for when you give to actually share the organization that you are giving to, because that's going to help that organization connect to other givers who are also, you know, have taken the 2% pledge. And so in this way, it's kind of like we're allowing the 2% pledge to help solve some of these problems of like, I don't know who to give to. Oh, we'll follow the 2% pledge. And when people tag it, like, how does this organization feel, right? And so it's really starting to kind of create more awareness for the organizations. And there's so many organizations that are doing such amazing work out there, right? So no money passes my hands. I don't choose where the money goes. You do. And it's really up to you to build in this whatever percent you want, right? The 2% pledge is going to ask you to start giving 1% right away, because everybody can do that. Everybody forever. And then you can grow into that 2% over the next 12 months and more if you want to. There's no cap. You can give however much you want, right?
No, for sure. I guess I didn't mean for you. I meant for like in the individual businesses, like, are you suggesting people like create their own savings account and like the income there? Are you doing it immediately when someone purchases and you're setting something aside? Or like, how are you logistically suggesting people?
Great question. Okay. So if you practice profit first, this is going to be super easy, because every 2 weeks you're going to make your allocations and 2%, whatever your percent is going to go into your giving account. So a lot of my clients set up, you know, separate accounts for all of their financial needs. Other people use YNAB, which is youneedabudget.com, which is kind of like a digital envelope system. I didn't even know Why Not existed when I started with Profit First. So I'm like, you know, old school. I got all my separate accounts and it works for me. And so every single allocation cycle, which is every 2 weeks, 2% automatically goes into that giving fund. And then for me, I typically give on a quarterly basis. And so every 90 days, I'll look at how much money is in there and then I disperse those funds accordingly. If you do not practice Profit First, then you're going to have to look at how does my cash flow, like what's my cash flow system in my business? I would recommend having like a separate place that that money goes, because again, when you don't see it sitting there, it's not going to be top of mind. If you see it sitting there, I cannot tell you how much it just sparks that, oh, this money is starting to grow. I need to do something with it. I need to move it. So I definitely recommend having a separate account, because as you said, Abigail, like once it's in your pocket, it's like, oh, it's a different, right? And so we can actually eliminate that whole experience by just setting up a separate fund for it.
It's yours.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And look at your bank account. I know it's pretty easy for us to set up additional. They're technically different accounts, but like it's all in your same login. I personally have figured out what cash flow system works for us, and it's a way more simplified approach to Profit First, but we are definitely looking at profit, obviously, on a regular basis, or we wouldn't have profit reports, guys. Like, okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And I know I'm sure this will spark a conversation inside Boss Project about what this might look like for us. But if other people are interested in taking the pledge or working with you in a greater capacity, where can people find you online?
Everything is right on my website. So if you go to meganhale.co, you'll see the 2% pledge if you want to check that out. And once you take the 2% pledge, I will send you a little bit more information about Profit First if that's a system that you want to use. But other than that, I'll send you quarterly updates on like how the pledge is going, how many people have taken the pledge. I would really like to get to a point where we're tracking like how much money has been given, but that's still the thing that I'm trying to figure out, because I think that would just make it so much more
real. That would be cool.
But at the conference that I'm doing in November in Austin, I'm going to be talking about sustainable giving and talking about the 2% pledge. And so I'm going to have everybody send in some real numbers. So we'll be able to look at like just in this room of 100 people, if everybody took the 2% pledge, this is how much money we could give. So like, think about the reality of that, right? And so I think that those real numbers are just so helpful. So we're growing into that as part of the pledge, but you'll see all of the details right there on the page.
Awesome. Megan, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, y'all.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.